This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to www.bbc.co.uk/radio3.
Gower Street, London, 28th of March, 1914. Dear friend, well, here we are, London in springtime. But somehow 1914 doesn't seem quite so full of the joys of, well, spring as last year. The Irish troubles and those ghastly suffragettes are casting something of a shadow over everything. The one aspect of things that does feel full of life as ever, thank heavens, is the concert scene. And I believe that most musicians, if asked, would claim with pride that this is the centre of Europe these days for music. And it's a privilege I intended to take full advantage of during my stay here. I did promise I'd report back, so here goes. First, there was some Bartok at the Aeolian Hall on the 11th, with that fabulous pianist Franz Liebig playing two elegies for piano. As soon as the first note sounded, the audience held their breath. Such rugged, turbulent music, seething with emotion. Apparently, a few weeks before, Schoenberg himself had been here, conducting his own work, a piece called Gurulieder and five orchestral pieces. Next up was the Ballet Russe, based in Drury Lane this season. There's been such a fuss about them and this godlike Diaghilev that I had to go and see. The dancing was so unpredictable, as if the dancers were making up the moves spontaneously. The piece was called The Golden Cockerel by Rimsky-Korsakov. I'm not normally a ballet fan, but this was something else. The costumes were more eccentric than anything I've ever seen before. Such colours, and not a tutu in sight. The next night, the Queen's Hall was promising a premiere of Holst, choral hymns from the Rig Veda. But it was a freezing night, and I'm ashamed to say I stayed with my feet on the fender of the fire in this rather salubrious Bloomsbury hotel. The following day, however, I was ready again to abandon myself to Bach, gorge myself on Beethoven, revel in the lusciousness of Brahms. But the realization that has struck me most this past week is that it really is no longer Germany who rules the musical roost. Although Parry, Stanford, and the other elderly pedagogues at the Royal College of Music would rather die than admit that there's more to life than the three Teutonic bees, this week I felt I'd heard something not only new, but, wait for it, British. On the 27th of March, I just managed to get a ticket for a concert with two premieres in the programme. There were three beautiful orchestral songs by young Arnold Bax, but it was Vaughan Williams' second attempt at a symphony that I'd come to hear, which he's enticingly entitled his London Symphony. It was a musical melting pot for all the unrest, all this darkness and turbulence that is constantly under the surface, and nowhere more so than in the capital. He's taken the prosaic and mundane and elevated it to something beautiful and true. It put me in mind of H.G. Wells' new novel, Tono Bungay, which, as it turns out, Vaughan Williams quoted in the program notes. Wells seems to be doing the very thing in words that Vaughan Williams is attempting in music, to reflect our society and this moment in time back to us.